Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch. Hey, Fetch.
Quiet, quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Etan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thanks a lot for that, Mary. Always a pleasure. It is indeed The Fetch, as I get a little bit organized here. Thank you for the studio, too, because everything crashed just before. So thank you for the studio for all that quick service there. And again, thank you very much for that, Mary, for listening to Inside the Eye Live. Prime time here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. Today's date is Thursday, October the 18th, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon, early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And a good late evening to early Friday, I should say, late evening, early Friday. I had to change that word to a morning. Early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And, of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh finally signaled the fall season, as daytime highs were unable to break the 90-degree mark, coming in as it did at 89 degrees. So there you go. That made for a really nice early evening, though, with temperatures rapidly falling to the lower 80s as the sun fell. Combine that with a bit of a breeze, and you had the makings for a really nice evening, in which thoughts shifted to going out and enjoying the evening rather than heading in and preparing for a radio show today. But anyway, I went out to lease everything, clean air, fresh air, everything involved has been very, very, very nice. Let's see here. I am trying to get some things to operate here, and I don't see it's working. Just hang tight while I try to get some of these pages opened up. Let me try to open it up on this window instead. Guys, it's been a busy, hectic week, at the least, here in Saudi Arabia. It's actually been a hectic 6 weeks, and just so busy, literally working all the way up until 9 o'clock, typically 9:30 on Thursday, and I'm starting early on Sunday. So it's been a very hectic time here. Let's see, I got to check everything out here. That's okay. So that's good. But basically, guys, I'm just trying to make sure everything is caught. You know, I've been catching up with the Dodgers. You know, if you're familiar with the United States, it is fall season here, the fall classic here. So I've been watching the Dodgers. They've been having a heck of a series about with the Milwaukee Brewers. To those of you who do follow baseball and are watching in America, you know, I just have a few comments about the LA Dodgers. You know, I've been watching this Machado guy, this guy that they picked up from Baltimore. He's a heck of a player, but I'll tell you what, when I watch ball players play, the guy is a heck of a player, but he's one prima donna guy. We used to call this type of guy a bush leaguer. He takes a lot of cheap shots at people, and he basically harms his team more than actually helps sometimes. And I'm just not impressed with the guy overall as a personality, as a without a doubt, boy. But chemistry being what it is, I'm not a big fan of this. I can't wait to get Corey Seager back. We'll find a way to dump this guy and just get rid of his attitude, because quite frankly, it kind of ruins my watching experience watching this guy play. I just don't like Bush Leaguers. That's it. I don't like the Bush Leaguers. Football, who knows? Can't say a thing about football. Haven't watched a single American League game. I'm not a big American League guy. Always been a National Leaguer, being based in Los Angeles. Spent a lot of time down at Anaheim Stadium back then when it was still called Anaheim Angels. And enjoyed a lot of time down there, quite frankly. Of course, a lot of time at Dodger Stadium. Never really watched a basketball game, believe it or not. Never went to an LA Lakers game. Never cared about watching basketball live. Just didn't interest me. And actually, unfortunately, never been to a hockey game either. But that would interest me. Escovina, California. Actually, I think Escovina, California, right along the 10 freeway. I think between, what was that street's name? Branca? Citrus? I can't remember. I think it was Citrus. I forget the street names, guys. It's been so long. I mean, if I see it, I'll just lock it back in my head. But I think it was Citrus, not Barranca. Citrus. And what was the heck of that? Anyways, it was over there, guys, right off the 10 freeway. And I used to go there, skate around, watch college hockey back then. That was always a cool thing. Got kind of a cool story coming out of the weird and weirder department. And that is coming from us from Greece. There's a story on a place called Lake Vistonida. It's in northern Greece, and it's become a arachnophobe's worst nightmare after the lake was covered or cloaked in a massive 1 kilometer long spider web. It was spun by obviously hundreds of thousands and hundreds of thousands of small spiders. Biologists say that this phenomenon, the rare, is not unheard of, and is caused by unseasonably warm weather, prompting an increase in the local population of mosquitoes and gnats, and it's causing overpopulation of spiders. There is an abundance of food available. That's the problem. There's too many gnats and too many mosquitoes, and the spiders have been doing a good job keeping the mosquitoes. That means they've been breeding, and so basically draped over roadside bushes, fences, all track of a combined length of about 1,000 meters, which is 1,100 yards. That means a web as big as, and it says the weather conditions there have been ideal for these spiders to multiply. The spiders are from the genus Tetranatha, known as stretch spiders due to their elongated bodies. They are known to build webs near watery habitats, with some species even said to be able to play Jesus and walk on water, which is kind of cool. A similar case was noted in the western Greek coastal town of Aetolika last month. So it does happen from time to time in Greece. It'd be cool to see. You know, the big story, really, I think, coming out of the Middle East anyways, relative to Saudi Arabia, is the Jamal Khashoggi story. It was something that last week we found a little incredulous, but as news continues to flow and break, it is looking increasingly very bad, quite frankly, for the Saudis. When you bring somebody into your embassy and they kind of disappear in your embassy, with all due respect, that never looks good. No matter what, it doesn't look good. But, you know, to temper this a little bit, you know, if people aren't familiar with this Jamal Khashoggi guy, again, no one's condoning the behavior, by the way. It looks bad. But Jamal Khashoggi was part of the old guard, part of the Muslim Brotherhood, part of the Arab Spring movement. He was a CIA asset. He fought for the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. He was a good friend of Osama bin Laden. He's part of this old guard that the current Saudi government has been trying to weed out. And you got to wonder just really what is going on. Again, you know, as President Trump said, it looks like they actually may have killed this guy inside of the embassy. You know, what's that? I forget the old television show. But until you find a body, there's no death. You know, you got to find that body. And for whatever reason, they haven't found it. But what an absolutely embarrassing diplomatic situation the Saudis find themselves in, quite frankly. You've got Turkish intelligence, Turkish police combing all over your embassy now. You've got Turkish security forces combing all through your ambassador's residence, which are generally considered territory of the nations involved. So basically, Turkey's being given a free hand to walk in, use drones, use ultraviolet light, and come in and just basically go, you know, with a fine-tooth comb, as we might say, throughout both the embassy and the ambassador's residence. And you've got these 15 guys that are purportedly have flown in. I was watching and listen, I've been following this a lot, just trying to see what's going on. According to one source, a Saudi source, and again, it's a media source, but he's saying, look, two of those faces, and we know that the Jewish media lies. We know that. Nonetheless, it's a very strange occurrence. But two of the stories that were floated by the media were saying that these aren't even the same people claiming to be, that these two pictures at least were somebody else taken years and years ago, and it's not even has nothing to do with this story. So there's a lot of misinformation, a media war going on regarding Jamal Khashoggi. We have to remember a little bit, this guy was an asset of the previous government. Trust me, the previous government. Their security forces, that group has largely been routed, you know, recently. There's been a big effort to root out these people. They were the ones behind the extremism. Khashoggi was a Muslim Brotherhood operative. And so this is something that obviously is not going to sit well. He was in close with Qatar. When you listen to some of Khashoggi's statements, he was in very well with Qatar. When you hear Khashoggi talk about giving a voice to the Arab people, what he's really talking about is the Arab Spring. And the Arab Spring, as we figured out, attempt by Jewish neocons to really upset the entire order here in the Middle East. And Khashoggi, quite frankly, would not have cared one second if tens of thousands of more people perished in this whole fiasco. Khashoggi was not a good guy. Don't let the Washington Post and everybody else try to convince you. Now, that's not to say that if he was actually killed inside the Saudi consulate, that that's savior of a nation state, quite frankly. But I was thinking the other day, too, is, you know, everyone likes to talk about how this such few assets, folks, that they actually had to do something like this on their own territory. In their, literally on their own territory, which is their embassy, then they don't think about it. They don't have the assets globally to really, really do what people can do or what American intelligence can do, British intelligence, et cetera. It's just, I mean, they had that. If they did this thing, as somebody said recently, I was watching, you know, it would be just the biggest sign of incompetence ever. It just opens you up to so many criticisms lately. And it's not. Whatever is going on here, I guarantee that. Whatever happened to this, because no one's going to take such a high risk, quite frankly, do this type of thing, something really big behind the scenes. It's just not worth it, quite frankly. I mean, I can't imagine incompetence of that level, quite frankly. I mean, I don't know the security details of Prince Mohammed bin Salman. I don't know you know what I mean, but I know a lot of the people here, and these smart people, which is really hard to believe, quite frankly, what is going on. At the same time, I don't care. Khashoggi's not my concern. This is a Saudi concern. I'm more concerned about what happens in our own countries, what happens in the United States, what happens inside of the UK, for instance, what happens inside of Germany, what happens inside of the West. This is my concern. And quite frankly, we should be as focused and ruthless on enemies of our nation as perhaps others are doing. The one shoved aside for so long, it's become absolutely ridiculous. I don't know if you heard the story, but in America, we had something called this cake story, you know, the cake story. And the cake story was like, you know, if you don't bake me a cake, we're going to basically sue you into oblivion, and you're not going to be able to live ever again. That kind of happened in the United States. But what people don't know is parallel to that, The exact same thing was being tried by Jewish groups, LGBTQ, CJ, that's the CJ stands for cannibal and Jews. That's been going on in the UK also. And so, you know, we have our own problems. And I've still got more on this Jamal Khashoggi story. I followed some statements from the Indian, former Indian ambassador, from or ambassador to just recently removed. And I also, not talking to, but I've been checking up as much diplomatic information as I could regarding Khashoggi. Now, the U.S. government, they've had Mike Pompeo over there for a briefing. Trump was said to call King Salman. King Salman denied any knowledge of this. I actually, knowing the people that know, I do know people that know King Salman. And the words I've heard about King Salman is I would kind of believe he is in the dark. This is at a lower level. And King Salman does, from time to time, foot down. He is still the king at the end of the day. And so we'll have to see just how now this investigation that is going on plays out relative to the Saudis. Trump has said there's going to be severe consequences if indeed this guy's dead, and et cetera, et cetera. And the Saudis have come back and said, no problem. We have 30 ways to retaliate against you. You've taken all the Iranian oil off the market, and we could just withdraw oil also. And the next thing you know, you're going to see $400 a barrel oil. We can start trading in yuan. We don't need the U.S. dollar if you guys are going to play this game with us. But there's something going on deep, deep, deep that we cannot get to. I kind of liked the analysis. Again, it's all speculation and conjecture because nobody really knows anything, quite frankly. It's all just words in the paper, words on television. But the analysis, a short analysis that came from the former Indian ambassador, his name is, let's get to his name real quick, Mr. Bhadra Kumar. He's, again, the former Indian ambassador to Turkey. And here's what he had to say, speaking to a show in India 2 days ago.
Now, when you look at the implications of this, you have to see how the Turks handle this. They knew right from the beginning the man was dead. They knew that he was murdered. And they knew that there was a death squad which came from, hit squad which came from Saudi Arabia. It's 15 men. All that, you know. And all these things they knew, but in a very calibrated way, they were leaking this. And they were leaking to the American press to put pressure. Now, the point is, why the American thing? Because Trump has a genuine connection with this regime. Not Trump so much as Trump's son-in-law.
Kushner.
Jared Kushner. Kushner and this man, American press is full of reports that they even have a dedicated phone line which is out of the reach of the Secret Service. Usually what happens is this sort of even confidential conversations take place through a line which is recorded because of security implications. No, but Kushner apparently has got away with this practice of talking to Mohammed bin Salman without a single American eavesdropping on the conversation. So it is Trump is going on there. Then there is one more dimension. You know,
Israel dimension?
Yes, exactly. Kushner is a Jew. And Kushner is not only a Jew, he is a man who has is such a fundamentalist. That he spent his own money for West Bank settlements. He's contributed substantial funds. Saudi Arabia, axis that is forming between Saudi Arabia and Israel, that is fostered by Kushner very significantly. So you see, this while this is going on, and Turkey has very poor relations with Israel, you know, Erdogan, a dislike, and this is reciprocated by the Israelis also. And again, Erdogan has contacts with Hamas. So you see, going to the deep state. Now, Washington Post, we all know well, America has probably, I mean, the CIA has probably even taken some equity in the paper. You know, they're this thing. They're even funded by the CIA to that extent. It is connection extremely well known. So a lot of it was going to the Washington Post, and they were going to these quarters. This similarly means that Trump would come under, Trump would squash it.
Well, this some of the comments coming from the former Indian ambassador to Turkey. And again, you know, we're talking about the angle. Now, we know Khashoggi had been bitterly opposed to the new Saudi government relative to Israel. And he was opposed to the rapprochement of what was going on relative to the Israeli-Saudi nexus that this ambassador, former ambassador, was speaking about. So we're trying to really piece this together a little bit. Again, this is way beyond, again, what's even the newspapers. The Saudis have denied that they killed him. They're saying, okay, come on in. Check it out. You know, you can come investigate all you want. We see you coming out of, with drones and light washed blood or anything like that that might have been splashed on walls. Some of the stories coming out are seemingly ludicrous. They cut the fingers off. They beheaded the guy. Again, why would you behead somebody and make such a mess? You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense. You're supposed to have some bone specialist in autopsies and bone cutting up bones that that flew in for this. So there's a lot of different stories floating around, and now you've got the stories about how the body was dissolved in fast-acting acid. It was cut up and put into acid, and it basically just ate it all up. So you have all these various stories. Now, trust on this, everybody, that at the elite level, these guys are very, very shrewd. They know what they do, whether it's CIA or everybody else. Covering up something and doing something, that's their job. They know what they're doing. But again, very, very strange situation. But relative to Americans, you know, it's really weird that, again, like as the ambassador, former ambassador Kudra said, he said, you know, everything has been leaked to this deep state. And the deep state we know is very much involved in, oh, I don't know, regime change, things of that nature. But Khashoggi, for his part, he was all for the regime change. He was all for, quote, unquote, giving the Arabs, men and women, a voice. But what few people understood that to mean was that that voice was really all about being just given a voice. And they would juxtapose this idea of giving people a voice and then use it as to show relative to the Palestinian issue. So that was something that's obviously in everybody's pictures and frame and mind, et cetera, because of the way the Israelis and the Jews are basically butchering left and right, children, everybody, basically, that gets in the way. So this is a really unique event. It's actually caused me a little bit to self-censor everybody. I know people in the Royal Guard. I know people. I just haven't. I've been very good, folks. I haven't asked any questions, which would probably be a smart thing to do right now. Being here. So it's very fluid, everyone. It's very strange. And we're just going to have to watch out and see what happens. Anyways, it's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Inside the Ally Primetime, again, Thursday. Thursday, anyways, Revolution Radio. I have not even made my way over to the chat room yet, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. I'm actually making my way over there now. InsideTheEyeLive.com. I hope. Let's see. I can't see right now. I don't see it. Let me try it again. I don't want to lose that story. Hold on, everyone. I'm going as fast as I can. There. That window will work. And let's do this. And I hope it pops up fine. It's popping. That's not fine. That's kind of. There it goes. All right. It's okay, good. We're still live. And anyways, join me in the chat room inside the iLive.com. That's in iLive.com, the live chat, but I should go to this computer. This one should work, inside the iLive.com. And then click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door. Guys, I'm coming over now. I'm just coming over to say hello, see who's there. And I've got Diet Joke, Mer Bailey. What else? Hi, Jim. Thanks for everything, obviously. Not a whole lot of people there, but nonetheless, I see you guys there. Anyways, very good. All right, let's see. How much time we got before the break? Should be over. Getting close. Yeah, we're going into the break. Down, there you go. They're saying the audio sucks. Don't know what to do about that, everybody. I'm just broadcasting from here. Again, it's inside the eye live. Everybody, welcome back. It's the Patch Inside the Eye Live Primetime. That's right, Inside the Eye Live Primetime. As I try to get myself organized here. You'd think I would be, but I'm just not yet. Again, it's late evening here. It's 1:30 in the morning, Riyadh time. It's been a nice day, quite frankly. It was a type of day where, again, it wasn't so hot, 89 degrees. I was too big. But the evening here was absolutely fun. I tell you, by the time 8:30, 9 o'clock rolled around, we were probably talking middle to upper 70s type of weather and a little bit of a breeze. And it's like, man, you just want to go out and go out to a nice coffee shop, do something, get out. You know, after living in environs all this time, it's really, really nice when the temperatures start to dip and start to enjoy yourself. But that unfortunately didn't happen today. I'm here preparing and doing some other stuff here. So, you know, one of the things we're talking about is, again, the Jamal Khashoggi story. Again, it's going to be big news, I know, relative to U.S. interests. It, quite frankly, it's not in our interest. I don't care. This guy wasn't a good guy. Again, it's not something I would obviously condone doing. Obviously, just from a civilized point of view, you don't normally open your country and your city and all that to such scrutiny. It sounds like a silly thing to do to me. But you know what I mean? It's not something that is not, it's, what can I say? It's their country. They can do what they want, right? But obviously it's going to play out. The Jewish media is going to have a field day with this. But at the same time, the Israelis are quiet. The Israelis are actually supporting it. So again, I'm not trying to side with the Israelis here. I know this guy, this Khashoggi guy, was not a good guy. Quite frankly, and the nexus of Saudi to Israel, I've always said all along, look, if you're going to align yourself with Jews and the Jewish elite and the state of Israel, you're going to get burned. Absolutely, you're going to get burned. And why this went down, should it have gone down as people are saying it went down? Well, guess what? You're working with the Israelis and you're partnering with the Israelis and you're going to get burned. The Kushner. Let me just kind of move on first, get to the business side of things. This is a listener-sponsored and supported radio, and it does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. And I'll tell you what, without a platform, everybody, we really can't do this thing. I cannot stress that enough. I've had my Twitter has gone. I'm not sure I'm going to reopen that again. Enjoying the fact that I have more time, quite frankly, compared to what I was doing, spending so much time on Twitter. My Gab account has been doing pretty darn well, so thank you for all the people over at Gab and your support there. But without the platform, yeah, we're not going to be doing live radio, that's for sure. And can't promise, as you've seen, if you go back to my website, I don't think I've even had time to update the stories there since September, I don't know, the 9th, something like that, going way back in time now. I got like 6 weeks to catch up, but I'm like, man, I don't want to be doing all that writing. So I'm not sure, you know, how that's down, but I got to get it done, right? I have to do it. Tomorrow I'm actually going to be going out doing some more investing, everybody. I'm going to be doing getting one more camera that I need to do more video that I want to be doing here on an education type of thing. So we're looking to buy one more camera. That's less enjoying the night, quite frankly. So I'll be heading out tomorrow night. Maybe I can get a couple things done tomorrow. Who knows? Let's check, and we shall see. Let's see. What else? There it is. I think it's this story here. Well, first of all, let me keep going. This is that's what I'm looking for. That's not the story I'm looking for. Let's see. This is listener-sponsored and supported. We talked about that again. The show is actually the Cat Report. I can get into the ITIL Cat Report. The ITIL Cat Report is proudly sponsored by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. Again, for all of your, if you enjoy this type of radio show and you want to see a lot of aggregated content from across multiple networks, edited, conveniently sliced and spliced together to where it's quite nice to listen to, the audio corrected in case is bad with some of these stations, including yours truly here, you might want to go check out grism.blogspot.com. Lots of shows there, lots of new things to look at, and I'm there, obviously. Thank you for all that and your support over there. So, guys, it's time and money and effort, again, to do all this. It takes servers. Unless you try to do it, I just can't stress enough how much work this really is to do the aggregation like Zap does. Quite amazing. So if you're over there and you listen, guys, we know that. Just buy Zap a cup of coffee every now and then. Just, again, I mean, come on. We're doing over 2,000 downloads a month sometimes, just over Zaps. And guys, just buy him a cup of coffee, man. $5, $7, $3, I don't care. I don't even know how much McDonald's costs anymore, but just buy him a cup of coffee. It all adds up, and really it does help, and it kind of makes you do what you can. I mean, can't rely upon you. We're working for you, quite frankly. We are working for you in many a ways. And so keep that in mind. And we keep it in mind also. We're not doing this in a way that's not professional. We are looking to do something that is highly professional and something that's worthy and deserving of your listenership equally. Yeah, keep all this in mind. It's kind of like a team. We provide the effort. We provide the platforms. We provide everything you can, the technology, the everything you need to get the information, and we do the best we can with what we have. And we do even better than what we do better than what we have sometimes. You know what I mean? I know we do a pretty good job. So guys, get out there, support Inside the Eye Live, support grism.blogspot.com, and certainly support Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. Cat Report's kind of quiet. Again, not being enjoyed. And I can't, talking to the girls today, the cats have started to settle in. I watched. What happens is late at night, we have new Spiker, and Spiker's still a kitten. He could take Spikers, and we would take him to the door, and kind of like we have a door that you can like shove him out through the door. And he would just kind of gladly go, and no problem. Now what Spikers does, when you walk him to the door and they kind of do this to tease him a little bit, he literally clings on to like to put him out, acting like he's very afraid to go outside. He just refuses to go outside now at night. He's now sleeping with my help, Lonnie, and which is kind of cool. She's now got a friend. They still have to shut Bruiser, if he gets a hold of Spike, it's going to be a big fight in the house. But Bruiser is getting better, a little bit better. He's getting better. One Eye is getting better. This cat is great. Spikers is great. He's got great house manners. He goes to the and he politely kind of like meows at you, and he goes outside. He's not created any problems whatsoever in the house to date, and so we're very happy with this cat. And he's kind of pushed himself in on us. No choice about that because we're nice people. And he's the only thing that Spikers doesn't have the ability to have yet is eating at the table. What I do is I've taught my very, very well how to politely sit at the table when we're eating, and then we'll feed them some morsels of chicken or fish or whatever we might be eating that night. And one I know is exactly how to sit politely and just look at you and wait for his turn. But Spikers is not allowed to do that yet. He's just not able to do it because we don't want create a big scene, so Spikers stays meandering around your feet waiting for a morsel to be put onto the floor. And it's funny, when you put a piece of meat on the floor for what Bruiser, because he's blind, you just tap the tile. It's a ceramic tile. You tap it where the food is, and his ears immediately zero in on that spot, and once he gets close enough, he can smell it, and he kind of eats that way, because he can't see what we do. Cool. Smart cat. We got smart cats, guys. We got cool cats, too, and it's kind of fun. I wish I was home. That's the ITO Cat Report, proudly sponsored again by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. That's, again, friendsofgrism.blogspot.com, where if you have any IT needs, any type of program, for your website, and you are working in this space, give us a call and we'll see what we can do for you to put together a really integrated plan to get your website optimized and operating to the best of its ability. And quite frankly, I'm happy with how mine loads and does all that. So guys, it's a great thing to do. Get in touch with us. And that is, of course, the ITO. Now it's time for, if I can get this thing cued properly, it's now time for the Moment, brought to you by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show.
Oy vey! Oy gewalt! It's like another shower!
Oy vey!
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
How would it run by you? It don't like you. Hey! Very goddamn angry at some of you.
I thrive on boyum ears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
All right, and this week's it's always the anti-Semites around here, isn't it? This week's Oy vey Moment is brought to us again by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the week. Again, catch it at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. That's 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. So definitely check that out. Let's see. The Algaminer, again, is in the news a little bit. Going back to the U.K., story released just a couple days ago by a Manfred Gerstenfeld. He sounds like he's a very nice German guy. And Irene Karuk, another great German guy. These are actually foreigners. They're not Germans. They are foreigners, live in Germany. And they are raising an issue that really got my attention. It's like everything in the Jewish community lately is a conspiracy theory about Jews. And all of this, I never even think of half of this stuff. I just don't care, you know. But when I read Jewish newspapers and Jewish digital publications, they remind me of just how insane and unstable mentally Jewish people really are. are. And here's a classic statement. The classic, most extreme case of fallacy originated from Tsarist Russia is the protocols of the elders of Zion. Many extreme anti-Semitic conspiracy theories also flourish in the Arab world, but we're talking about not what's going on in the Arab world, not what's going on in nationalist Germany, what is going on in the UK Labour Party. That poor UK Labour Party is the only party, and they're anti-Israel, quite frankly, they're not pro-Britain. Okay, don't think the UK party's pro-British, but every other party inside of the UK is owned by the Jewish bloc. They own it. And what the Jewish people seem to want out of the UK is total capitulation. So they're coming up with a slew of conspiracy theories by elected party members have come to the fore. Jeremy Corbyn's Labour's leader since 2015 is a terrorist sympathizer. Well, if you support Israel, you're a terrorist sympathizer, quite frankly. State sponsor of terror, quite frankly. The amount of death meted out by, quite frankly, it's sad, quite frankly, but all of America's allies, everything that is under the tutelage of Jewish influence, and you could, in some cases, might even include where I'm living now. There's too much killing going on, whether it's in Yemen, Syria, Ukraine, Palestine. It doesn't matter. It's just everywhere. It's too much. It's too much. We need to find a way to get the state of Israel down. That's the sad reality. Our enemies aren't people who do something to Khashoggi, with all due respect. Our enemies are the people who want to impinge upon our freedom of speech in our own countries. And that comes from the Jewish community by constantly floating weaponized words that are designed to shut us up, silence us, and through the unquote definitions, destroy us from speaking out. If these are our enemies, these are the people we should be focused on. These are our interests. Our interests are our interests, and we should stay focused on our interests. So, somebody like Corbyn, a quote-unquote a terrorist sympathizer, simply to side with sadistic, evil Jewish mentalities. That's all I can say. You can't be rational here and call somebody else from the Jewish community quote-unquote terrorist sympathizer while at the same time supporting Jewish interests. Most of what Jewish interests is about spreading terror. You know what? Terror, root for and coming from the terror again. There's tears and terror and Torah. They're all essentially the same thing. You cannot have terrorism without the Torah. They're the same root. They're all intertwined. They're all interconnected. It's just how deep you want to penetrate into the esoterics of the construction of the word. Furthermore, Jews are saying that Corbyn is a supporter of Holocaust distorters. Well, what Holocaust are we distorting? We're not distorting the 60 million people that Jews killed. Jews are distorting these figures. We're not denying that Donma Jews were behind the Armenian genocide. We're not the ones distorting that. Jews are distorting this. We're not distorting the Holodomor in the Ukraine. The Jewish population is behind distorting this. So again, it's not for one minor, hyper minor, foreign element within our talk to us about Holocaust disorders, everyone down to every, I don't care, take their Talmud and use it as an example, and every man, woman, and child in the Jewish community should be accused of this. And when they complain, you say, well, I'm just practicing your Talmud. Talmud is all. They say here, he continues on, he goes, anti-Israel insider. Well, so what? It's the UK, you morons, in the Jewish community. It's the UK. The state of Israel is the cause of most of our problems. We should absolutely be anti-Israeli insiders. Absolutely. And I know that's hard for some people to believe because, hey, you believe in this coming of Christ, and, hey, it's great to bring all the Jews together, but you haven't figured out that the Jews created that story for you. You just don't want to, you don't want to go beyond that. Yes, oh, you can't criticize them. For what? To be terrorists? To constantly suppress us and to oppress us and keep us down? For what? They talk about promoting. What does that even mean? Then in 2012, they go back and interviewed by an Iranian propaganda outlet, Press TV. Well, okay, are you kidding me? What arrogance from the Jewish community is this? Every single Jewish media, from the Washington Post to CNN to everything else, is fake news. It's pure Jewish propaganda outlet. See, the problem with the Jewish community is that they don't grasp yet that we don't care anymore about their way of framing the debate. A lot of us don't care. Some of you might. I don't know. If so, you're not telling me. But a lot of us don't care anymore. For me, I'm disgusted, quite frankly, by this type of the Jewish community. It's offensive. It's arrogant. It's insulting. It's antagonistic. It's weaponized. It's everything possible to spit in our faces and slap us upside the face. Since when do you allow people to come up and just slap you upside the head? You never did that in real life. So why are you allowing the Jewish people to do it to you rhetorically? Now, I know you're not necessarily going out and about and looking for information as I do. But folks, this is going on everywhere. You can't pick up a newspaper and not find this subtle slap in your face going on everywhere. You can't pick up you can't turn on a television show and not see this. Corbyn commented, apparently, according to this Jewish source, on a terrorist attack on an Egyptian army base in the Sinai Peninsula, where 16 Egyptian soldiers had been killed. And labor leaders suggested that Israel was behind the attack because it supposedly had an interest in increased violence in the Sinai and destabilizing the Muslim Brotherhood regime. Well, that kind of makes sense. Khashoggi was a Muslim Brotherhood, by the way. Lifelong card-carrying member, 30 years, Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is one working hard, quite frankly, as part of an extended element with Hamas and everybody else inside of Palestine. Now, I'm no fan of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood causes chaos for us in America. They don't represent our values any more than Jews represent our values. Both groups should be banned from our midst, as far as I'm concerned. Corbyn said, in whose interest is it to kill Egyptians other than Israel? Well, that kind of makes sense. This doesn't sound like a conspiracy theory to me. It just sounds like common, rational, pragmatic observation. Which, to Jewish people, it's like their eyes bug out and they lose control, or they lose their ability to think rationally. You know, for such a smart people, I've never met such idiots in my life. I really, truly believe that. For such smart people, it's a society of idiots. They are so childish in their beliefs. Corbyn never, quote unquote, apologized for these falsehoods. Well, it's a dear Jews, you know? You almost have to write a dear Jews statement every now and then. It's an observation. Hello. It's a pragmatic, rational observation. Please, dear Jews, tell us why you are unable to rationally think. That's how I would look at that. How are you unable to rationally think? Another one, it said, it found that Mohammed Papu, a local councillor in the London borough of Tower Hamlets, had been praised by Corbyn for his help to create a fair, just, and decent society. Those are all buzzwords from the Jewish community, aren't they? But it was found that Papu shared messages on Facebook in which he accused Britain of attacking Syria to install a Rothschild bank. Well, there's nothing wrong with that statement, Mr. Jewish community, because there is no Rothschild bank, and knowing that everywhere we find America and war. It's where there's no Rothschild bank. So what do we see? To me, the Jewish people are enemies of us because they completely lie about reality. They distort reality in a way that is actually harmful to our national existences. And they do it maliciously and knowingly. That's the bad part, everybody. They talked about this inside. Jews working in the World Trade Center received a text message before the incident. This is 9/11. Do not come to work on September 11th. Well, that's actually a true statement. The Jewish people have no business. See, you want to talk about Khashoggi, we need to talk about 9/11. We need to get a national debate going, but how hard is it? Because we can't even get Hillary Clinton arrested. In 2017, John Clark, he was a city councilor and prospective labor parliamentary candidate, he posted a text from, quote unquote, from the Jewish people, a far right website, in which he commented that it contained a great deal of truth. It said that the Russians have used usury on modern Israel instrument to take over the world with resources, including you and I. Well, think about it. You can't even go anywhere without paying your taxes, right, Mr. Jew? So therefore, you kind of are owned by the banking system, aren't you? That's the truth. And obviously, the idea of Jews using usury as a means of control and weaponizing their culture against the West is age-old proven fact. So my attitude now is like, what do you do to these enemies of the American people? What do you do to these Jewish enemies of the West? What do you do to them? Think about it. They're trying to destroy you. So now you have to start to think rationally. What do we do? Now we get back to the age-old idea that has long been talked about, and that's the Jewish problem. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch inside the Eye Live. October the 8th, good thing. I want to get back. I was complaining the other day, you know, this hotel they gave me, there's just a kind of, oh, what is it? And is it stressful due to this type of stuff? I've never had this type of stress. All the necessary complaints where I could, and hopefully they'll get to the bottom of this where I can get to another hotel, because I'm stressed, quite frankly. It's kind of, haven't had a good ounce of sleep probably in 3 weeks. There's just so much droning. I feel like I'm living next to a factory floor, you know, literally next to the factory. So not sure I want to keep doing this. Let's see. I don't know if you heard some of the news. America, this is coming from CNN, but it's also being sourced elsewhere. There was a heated argument in the West Wing. Chief of Staff John Kelly and National Security Advisor John Bolton, and then turned into a shouting match, according to a couple sources. That's been being sourced more than a couple places, but yeah, there's been some heated arguments between these two. Bolton is a dunce. Bolton is an idiot, quite frankly. This guy's a moron. He's just doesn't see any way other than just let's go fight on behalf of Israel. He's your classic case of a rectified goy. He's a moron. I can imagine I would get into a shouting match with this guy probably every 30 minutes or less if I had to hang out around him and I was given an equal par on him and I had my own position equal to him. I would not let this guy have an ounce. I wouldn't let him breathe for 1 second. I'd be in his face all the time, and Trump would have to get rid of either me or him. And Jews would probably have a say in that, and I'd probably have to go. But this Bolton guy is a complete flake. I don't even know why we have, as an American nation, we have a great country, so much talent, and the best we can find is this dolt by the name of Bolton. My goodness. I mean, my goodness, how has America become when putting this type of moron into positions of authority and power? But it's not really us. It's the Jewish elites that are doing this to us. It's when a U.S. general came out today. His name is U.S. Defense Attaché to Russia, Brigadier General Peter Zwack. U.S. Defense Attaché to Russia. Yeah, Brigadier General Peter Zwack. I read that, right? Said that Israel's air defense system was recently sent by Russia to Syria. This is being reported in a thing called Al-Watan Voice. Zwack said that, quoting here at the end, the time when the Israeli planes target S-300 defense system owned by the Syrian army is coming. This is an important issue for Israel. It will not remain silent. Quoting again here, not quoting, but the presence of the S-400 system in the Russian military base in Syria's Hamiyamim is not a worry for Israel, but the Syrian government. See, they lie. They use the word regime. Another insulting slap in our face by these digital publications. They said, but the Syrian regime owning the S-300 missile system is, according to Zwack. And then he says further, based on my knowledge about the Israelis, they will tell Russia that the defense system is owned by Syria, and then they will do their best to strike it and take it out of service, he added, of what he expects Israel's plan to be. But, you know, this guy is a U.S. military attaché to Russia, essentially cheerleading for the Israelis. Again, we have so many dual operative type of traitors within our military that it's really unfathomable to a lot of people just how deep the Jewish influence, Jewish power structure really runs within the United States. It's just unfathomable to a lot of people. But again, to those of us who've watched this for years and years, it's been going that long. This is probably the greatest danger to the American people ever, and that is Jewish influence within our politics. They hate us, quite frankly. The Jewish people hate us. They hate us for our freedoms. They hate us for our way of government. They like to buy it wherever they can and benefit, but they hate the fact that you could actually be able to govern yourselves. If basically, I look at police, you know, the word police. In English, the letter P always has a symbolic symbol being the female. So P and O is male and female, and lice, of course, is something that feeds off of the P and the O, and becomes the word police. Also, in a little bit, but the police are like the lice that feed off the population, and in a very, very real way, that's real. That's true. A lot of times that's exactly the case. But when you look at the Jewish community, its politics, its political base, the way that it wants to dominate everything, not allow us to even have a say in our own governance, then what do you call that? These people are feeding off us. They're not contributing to us. They're feeding off of us in a very real way. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to grasp or to understand, but that really is what is happening. And really, if you want to understand how it works in broad daylight, just study British politics. Everywhere you look, if anybody says one ounce of even an inkling of about a shaving of a fingernail against the Jewish community, you are railroaded out of office. You are railroaded out of being able to represent anybody inside of the UK. And why is that when the Jewish people are such a hyper minority of people within the UK itself? Why are Jews being allowed to formally dominate British politics? There's a Hamlet, it's called Tower Hamlet, and there they have sent a Labour councillor, Mohammed Papu, to resign for his online, quote-unquote, anti-Semitic remarks. Well, first of all, when you look at the UK, how did a Mohammed get there? How is a Mohammed allowed to actually hold office in a country that is British? Do you think Mr. Dennis Fetcho can come over to the UK, to come over to Saudi and hold office inside of Saudi Arabia? You really think that's possible? Do you think Mr. Fetcho Israel and actually hold office in Israel? Do you think that's possible? Do you think that it's possible for anyone to hold office in Jordan? How about we make our way over to China? Do you think we can make our way over to China and actually make ourselves into some guru that can, basically rule China? through holding office? Do you really think any of this is possible? So if you don't think it's possible, why are you allowing it to happen within your own nations? And why are people silent in the face of Jewish domination that impose it upon us? See, at some point, there has to be a break, or the West dies. It's that simple. Either there's going to be a break or the West dies. Papu, who is this Muhammad Papu, he says, but he shared, quote-unquote, to the Jewish community, of course, a conspiracy theories about Jewish people on his Facebook account. He suggests and kickoffs for the children's charity social organization for Unity and Leisure that he was a trustee of. Well, they say I'm breaking up. I don't know, guys. What am I using here? Am I using my Vibe or no? Oh. Guys, I'm going to probably drop everything here. Connect. Sorry about that, everybody. I saw the complaints earlier, but I thought I'd already changed it. But I apparently didn't change. So my fault. Didn't automatically connect. All right. Should clear up, everybody in the chat room. Thank you for all the information. Again, Inside the Eye Live, you can join us. Okay, here you sound bad, breaking up. Sounds as if you have low upload bandwidth. Yeah, Zap, that actually was the case. Hopefully now it's cleaning up. Hopefully. I'll tell you, no wonder why nobody's listening to the show today. They can't understand a word I'm saying. I'll tell you. What can I say, man? It's late. All right, I think now it's okay. Should be okay now. So anyways, back to the show. Okay, the real show starts now, guys. It's 2:11 in the morning. We lost an hour and 40 minutes, or not an hour and 40 minutes. We lost an hour and 10 minutes, something like that. But we're back. I think now it's going to be actually pretty good. I just got to pick up my energy and keep going. We'll be fine. Welcome back. Live from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, all that kind of fun stuff. Let's see. Sounds okay for now. George says you're a quart low on scotch. You know what? I might be not just a quart low on scotch. It might be a gallon low, man. Yeah, it's magic, Blackbird. You just showed up and you fixed everything. Thank you so much for that, BB. And yes, I apologize, guys. I did not pick the right access point when I started the show. That's my fault. But it's fine now. You know what it is, Blackbird? Blackbird's in the chat room saying, wow, it's magic. I can hear you much better now. You know what it is, Blackbird? We are we're saving money, Blackbird. See, so I have to pay for the bandwidth. You know what I mean? So what I did is, in order to save bandwidth, I was like using the free hotel stuff and not using my fee for bandwidth for fee service here. And because that costs me, you know, per megabyte, it cost me. Now, I bought like many gigabytes, don't kid yourself, but that's why. See, I was just trying to save on radio expensive. And see what happens, folks? If we don't support Inside the Eye Live, I have to use this freebie stuff, and it just doesn't work. You got to do the professional stuff, and we know that, quite frankly. I apologize again for not using the professional stuff to begin with, but hey, saving money, everybody. That's what I was doing, just saving money. So, yeah, we got to do a do-over. I'm not sure. Okay, should I start the break again? Hey, coming to you live from Saudi Arabia. This is The Fetch. All right, let's see. What else we got here? We got, I don't trust Fox News for that. Come on. I don't want to talk about that story either. Let's kind of go see what's going on in Syria right now. What is happening inside of Syria? It says here's Pentagon unaware of U.S. hostages taken near Syria's Deir Ezzor. Yeah, someone's calling me. You know what? I just got the greatest compliment ever. I said that I'm trying to save a dime here, or maybe a quarter, or even a nickel or a penny by using the free internet service. And they're saying, you know what? Now you sound too Jewish, dude. You sound like a Jew. Just stop being Jewish and do what you got to do, would you? Anyway, so that's, I'm sorry about that. Let's see. What else? You know what? I'm not sure this is true, but this is coming from Putin, no doubt. I'm not sure. Again, it's a U.S. publication. It's not a Russian publication. But it's talking about how over 700 hostages have been seized by those who are probably sponsored and backed by the United States. Now, I'm adding the part that back, because where they're being seized from are areas that are largely controlled by the United States. So there was an international policy forum in Sochi on Thursday, which is today, and Putin said they have been recently expanding their area and took about 130 families hostage, which accounts for 700 people. Putin said the militants have put forward demands, which he did not specify, and have warned that they would kill 10 people a day if the demands were not met. They killed 10 people the day before yesterday. They are now carrying out their threats. This is according to TASS, and that was citing an unnamed diplomatic dash military source. So you have to wonder just what the United States is doing over there. This could, of course, be Russian propaganda equally, but you just have to wonder what really the Americans are doing, because they're kind of inept over there. And basically, the Americans are just there to protect the Israelis. I mean, what a bunch of morons. Can you imagine? Something as powerful and strong as the United States military is, and such a respected institutional power within the United States society. And basically, when you break it down, they're nothing but henchmen for the frickin' Israelis. How lame is that? These guys have no backbone, no political standing. Just give me more money. Support us. And oh boy, aren't we doing great? Support your troops. But you're over there. What are you doing, man? You're not doing anything to protect the American people. You're just over there to protect the Israelis and carry out Israeli policy. How lame is that? Seriously, how lame is that when you think about it? There's supposed to be a big next week, and I didn't hear too much about it, but obviously with the, the Khashoggi affair, it just came to my attention. I didn't hear anything about it, but there's something called Davos in the Desert, and it was going to be a very big investment forum here, inside of Riyadh. And now that you've had Khashoggi kind of disappear, Turkish officials again are alleging that Khashoggi was killed inside of the embassy or the consulate. But here's some of the confirmed dropouts. Viacom Inc., he's the CEO. His name is Bob Bakish. Uber Technologies Inc., CEO Dara Shrahi, who won't attend unless a substantial different set of facts emerges. Uber is huge here in Saudi Arabia. It's by far bigger than what's local, which is the Kareem franchise. It's huge. And Uber takes a ton of money from the Saudis. If Uber didn't have Saudi money, Uber would not exist in its current state, quite frankly. Venture capitalist Steve Case, pending further information. LA Times owner Patrick Soon-Shiong. I didn't know it was owned by a Korean guy. HP Inc. executive Joanna Popper. Andy Rubin, creator of the Android mobile operating system. Roger Novak, co-founder of CRISPR Therapeutics AG. Now we have U.S. Secretary Bob Mnuchin is not, Secretary of Treasury Bob Mnuchin is not going to show. But nonetheless, Saudi's premier investment event is going to be moving forward. Whether or not it's going to be a successful, obviously it can't be as cannot be as successful as we had imagined, owing to the fact that so many people are going to be backing out. Speakers booked included J.P. Morgan Chase & Company CEO Jamie Dimon. Damon, I think it is, right? The U.S. Bank declined to comment on whether Damon is planning to attend. The event has no links to the World Economic Forum, which hosts an annual summit in Davos, Switzerland. So the CEOs, obviously, they have to counter everything. We have here Richard LeBaron, a former U.S. ambassador to Kuwait, who is now a non-resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council, said that CEOs have to balance their long-term business interests in Saudi Arabia. The New York Times, which is a media sponsor of the conference, is now pulled out. CNN announced on Friday that it's withdrawn its participation. The Financial Times said it wouldn't partner with the event while Khashoggi's disappearance remains unexplained. And Bloomberg has also pulled out of the event as a media partner. There's something here, part of Prince Mohammed's plan to overhaul the Saudi economy. Again, is something known as 2030 here. And they need a lot of money and investment to make that happen. I'm very familiar with this whole thing. Can't get too much into details on the air, but again, 2030 is basically U.S.-sponsored, U.S.-concocted strategic plan for Saudi Arabia to try to wean Saudi Arabia away from oil. It calls for a massive investment in human capital, which means raising the quality of the Saudi people as far as being able to critically think, manage their affairs, become good workers, you know, I mean, being able to work intelligent. We Americans are actually pretty good at that, by the way. And so that's why I'm here, is to help in this 2030 to raise up the standards. That's kind of what I do here. I'm part of that larger strategy. I do deal in other issues equally, but that's part of what I do here, is this 2030 strategy. I'm in and around it all the time. I just can't get into details, but I'm in and around it all the time. What else do we have falling out here? Herman Narula, CEO of startup Improbable Worlds Limited, won't be attending. Improbable raised $502 million from investors led by SoftBank Group Corp, and that is highly leveraged by Saudi Arabia. The deal happened as SoftBank was finalizing its $100 billion vision fund with backers that would include Saudi Arabia. Again, Steve Mnuchin is not going to appear. IMF fund director Christine Lagarde told reporters in Bali, Indonesia, last Saturday that she still plans to attend. So does Moelis & Company's Ken Moelis, a representative for the boutique investment bank. NEOM, which is a huge project, going to be launched in the northwestern part of Saudi Arabia. It's a $500 billion high-tech megacity. Others are starting to back away from that a little bit. Branson, Charles Branson with Virgin Galactic and Virgin Orbit, he said that he was also suspending his directorships in Saudi Red Sea tourism projects. And quoting here, what has reportedly happened in Turkey around the disappearance of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, if proved true, would clearly change the ability of any of us in the West to do business with Saudi Arabia. Now, I was listening to comments from the former Canadian ambassador, and something for all of you to think about here as you hear some of these stories, and maybe you think about, hey, what's Fetch up to? If you're Canada here in Saudi Arabia, you're basically nobody, okay? You're nobody. Saudi Arabia, for better or worse, is a strategic linchpin for the global economy. For better or worse. Again, and hopefully we want to keep it for the better. That is our side. Now, the pro-chaos side, the Jewish side, quite frankly, would love to see Saudi Arabia implode. They would love to see turmoil. If you had turmoil here, it would be like ISIS or Daesh on steroids. If you had all of these tribes break apart and starting to compete with each other, it would be, and there's no point to it. Quite frankly, it would cause such calamity throughout the global economy that you guys probably really don't have any idea. Really, you don't have any idea because of the way the financial markets work, the way the global energy markets work relative to oil. The world is not ready yet to even begin to handle a world without something like Saudi Arabia. Texas, which has huge growth right now, if you look at Texas as a state in America, its growth is hugely predicated on Saudi money. It's estimated that the Saudis have pumped over $800 billion into America. Think about that, $800 billion that you, everyone says, you send it to Saudi. Okay, let's say you do. But the Saudis are turning around and sending it right back to you. They're investing in America, whether you like it or not. They're investing. Again, whether Khashoggi's involved, Khashoggi was not he's not a sweet guy, and what they did inside a consulate, that's just dumb too. Let's be honest. But you can't, as the Canadian ambassador said, get into the game of isolating people. It doesn't work. If you want to be able to influence people, you have to have a relationship. This idea that you're going to influence people by sanctions, has it ever happened? Has it ever worked? I mean, think about the Jewish strategy here. The Jewish strategy is, we're going to starve you to death until you replace your government. Now, does that sound like rational, smart strategies to you? We're going to starve we're going to starve you people to death because we're on your side, because you have to replace your government because we said so. That, in a nutshell, is Jewish strategy, folks. Every time you hear Jews declare war on this country or that country or this country or that country, what are they really telling you? They want you to starve. Literally, they want you to starve. For what? To replace your government again. That's what they're doing to Gaza. That's what they wanted to do to Germany. That's what they want to do to and are doing to Venezuela. That's what they're trying to do to Iran. This is how Jewish power projection works. Starve you, destroy you economically, because they own the banks. They can do what they want. Money's never going to be a huge issue with them because they own the banks. The money belongs to them. It's their money. Once you give up the right to make your own money, guess what? They own it. Anyways, it's The Fetch, everybody, inside the iLive primetime, Thursday, October the 18th, back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's The Fetch, inside the iLive primetime, again, Thursday, October the 18th. Now that we've got the audio back under control, we're winning back some of the customers. That's a good thing. And one of those customers is a longtime customer, Vera from Canada. Vera, hi, welcome to Inside the iLive.
Hi, Dennis.
How are
you? Yeah, we can hear you really good now.
You know, my fault.
Yeah, my brother was listening. He said, you know, he keeps cutting in and out.
It's the hotel internet, man. I turned on the proper internet access point, which is through my phone. I bought a phone with a huge battery so I could use it as an access point, double it up as an access point. And, you know, I can... hours upon hours, not worry about it type of thing. And what can I say, man? I forgot to put this computer on. I put it on, but I didn't turn the computer on. The computer was still on the hotel, but I was saving money, Vera. I'm just a Jewish today, so I'm saving money.
Oh, that was cute. They said they had to say that to you.
Yeah,
that you're Jewish today.
Just going Jewish today.
Yeah,
I heard I'm Jewish, by the way. The rumors spreading around lately on certain social media type outlets that The Fetch is a Jew, and just watch out for him. He's a bad guy. He's a pro-Mason disturber guy. You know, you got to watch out for him. But at the end of the day, that's a good thing. They don't trust
false info. Hey, you know what I wanted to say? I was wondering, have you heard from John in Florida?
No.
John Kaminsky.
Yeah.
Have you, like, since their weird storm?
Yeah, I got an email today from him, so I assume it's from him.
Oh, okay, okay. Good. So yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, I got an email from him. I don't think that hit anywhere near him. I think that was very, very far north of him.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
Good.
He's further
down. Good, because they sure made it look bad. And then they said about the plumage, they mentioned about the plume, and they said it's all from global warming.
No, it's not. It's nitrates from the John was right. It's nitrates from the runoff, from the fertilizer. And the fertilizer creates the conditions to make all the algae grow. That's what nitrates do. It grows plants, and algae are plants. So that's the problem.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of sad. But, you know, you don't want to get rid of the farms because, you know,
But you got to look for, you know, how did humanity survive before?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we didn't have any kind of grow farming the way we do now. Nothing like that years ago.
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, they keep talking about overpopulation. Okay, fine. Rather than creating Yemen type of situations where you're starving people to death, okay, maybe you just stop growing less food.
Oh, that's how they think. Never mind, they are doing
that. You know, that's not how they think. What they want now is they want to create surpluses, send it all to Africa, hyperbreed the African population, which is 60, 70, 80 some odd IQ, and then use that to destroy the West like a biological weapon. That seems to be the game.
Oh, between that and the vaccinations, I already heard
they're saying that
you can get vaccinated and free vaccines. So see how thoughtful? They give them to you for free, and then they mentioned our Canadian news channel that there's some kind of weird virus going around with polio type, it's almost like a polio type virus. Well, I thought, immediately I thought, oh yeah, they were vaccinated.
Yeah. You know, so I was talking to somebody recently, 2 days ago, yesterday in fact. He said, can I go early today? He was in a session with me yesterday, and I said, why? And he said, well, I need to go to the hospital with my daughter. I said, well, what's wrong with your daughter? He says, well, I need to take her to get vaccinated. I'm like, I should probably keep you just to protect your daughter. You know what I mean?
Did you tell him not to?
Yeah, I tell him that, you know, vaccines are dangerous. What are you doing? But the government demands it, and people just do it because the government demands. And I said, you know, I told him vaccines is nothing but corporate welfare for pharmaceutical companies.
The medical system.
Yeah, but then
you also have a child. Look at the suffering parents. I've watched all kinds of programs. The suffering of the parent because their child either dies or they were a bright child, and then after one or two shots, this is even little babies, but they've had grown kids go through the same thing, you know. And as far as these people, they said Hitler wanted to, he was the one that was into getting rid of all the, like eugenics, right? Because he wanted the master race. Well, geez, is Hitler dead? So maybe it's the Jews that really wanted to do that.
Correct.
And what I say to them is, you guys first.
Yes. I agree. I mean, you know, it's funny, all the criticism about Hitler, and I'm not wanting to get into a big Hitler story. I try to avoid that nowadays and haven't really used my entire time on the show. But when you look at the 40-hour work week, mandatory vacation, maternity leave, all of these good things that are part of Western society, they came from him. They came from his government. They came from Germany. Yes, the 40-hour work week is German. National Socialist Germany. Maternity leave is German. I mean, money for money, you know, like 1,000 back then, 1,000 Deutschmarks was probably a lot of money. But 1,000 Deutschmarks for your child, you could take a loan on it. And if you had another child, you could take 75%. You didn't have to pay 25% of that. And if you had another child, you didn't have to pay 40%, 50%. So if you had four children, you never had to pay it back, but you got more money.
Yeah, yeah.
Build the families.
Well,
now,
so he cared. Now, it was the Jewish problem. And they can't deny that. If anybody knows, how come they were kicked out of so many countries if they're such good guys?
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Exactly, and they don't want to deal with that.
But
they'll tell you they're a victim, but they won't tell you why they were victimized. That's their point.
Yeah.
They will harp.
I mean, if I'm a jerk somewhere, eventually I'll get kicked out too. Right?
Well, if you're a jerk somewhere, you might find yourself not coming out of a consulate.
Coming out of the what?
A consulate. Maybe you disappear inside of a consulate.
I wouldn't go to the consulate.
You know?
Are you kidding?
This is a bizarre story over here, man, this thing. I don't know.
Because we're still hearing it, and they're saying that Turkey is saying this. So, who's in it? Turkey, Erdogan?
Yeah, some people are saying that, you know, some people basically sacrificed Khashoggi to get that pastor out. That's one conspiracy theory floating. That basically, look, we'll hand you Khashoggi, but you give us the pastor.
Wow.
Khashoggi was, again, deep state asset, but so was the pastor. So they basically handed off one deep state for another deep state. And the pastor was more important. See, the Americans are going to take care of their own before they take care of Khashoggi. Who's Khashoggi? Khashoggi was although he had good rhetoric, he was a sleazebag. You know,
this guy's not sleazy?
Huh?
This guy's not sleazy?
Who?
The one that's in now.
Which one?
Oh, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the guy in... Oh, that's who's in now.
Well, no. Oh, you mean MBS, Mohammed bin Salman. Yeah, this looks terrible for him, quite frankly. And I know Kushner is behind this. I'm wondering just how much influence the Israelis are playing on this. I've said this all along. The problem with Saudi is they're taking way too much intelligence from the Israeli side of the American government, which is not America. Yeah. It's Israel. And you got to want how much this was encouraged and instigated by Kushner and the Israelis. Hey, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. We got the press. We got your back. And they don't have, and of course, they already knew that the press is going to play it a different way. Now, look what they do. They can weaken one of their strongest people over here. And again, the Israeli strategy is to balkanize the Middle East. And the biggest balkanized project of all would be to balkanize Saudi Arabia. And people the Saudis, I don't think they've grasped that yet. They have a very strong central government. They have good tribal ties, but they don't understand Jewish people, with all due respect. You know, they say, well, are they Jews, really? Okay, I can't argue this anymore. You know what I mean? The Jews still want to destroy them, so you go figure it out then. So why would Jews want to destroy their own people?
Exactly.
So it's
and I'd like to know why they don't have multiculturalism in Israel.
Yeah,
that's the place that should have.
Jews. Yes, exactly. Yeah, we all agree. I mean, at the end of the day, really, you know, we're looking at we're kind of like talking about Khashoggi today, but obviously the existential battle for the West is full on.
Hey, I wanted to just say a couple more words. Are you like really, really tired, or can I call you after the show? Because I had a couple things to say to you personal.
No, you can call me for a few minutes after the show. That's okay. Just as long as you're not going to keep you all night.
No, I won't keep you all night.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to let you go then, Fetch. Nice chatting with you.
All right, see you. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, everybody, that's Vera in Canada. If you'd like to call the show, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. I know from time to time the show does well, so people call other shows, but they have this show in mind. This is a private number for dedicated to the studio. So this goes to the studio. So this number is for the studio. So that number is 1-323-275-1314. Let's see. That might be an Oy Vey moment. I'll tell you, I have to look at that. Let's see. What else? Not a whole lot's going on, everybody, apart from Khashoggi. It's been kind of quiet over here. I'm so busy, folks. It's hard right now to stay on top of everything, quite frankly. It's been really, really hard to stay on top of everything. What else is news, though? I mean, we've got a few things still happening. The Syrians are still trying to solve their problems. Guys, it is so much trouble right now. U.S. sanctions are eroding trust in the dollar. Let's be honest. The trade war is starting to pick up. I heard Sears just went bankrupt, man. I haven't read the story. I just saw like Sears. You know, I don't know if you've heard of Sears, Cat Roebuck, you know, Sears. But my goodness, if you got all these big companies starting to declare bankruptcy, Ford is announcing that they're going to shed maybe 12% of their global workforce, and this is all due to Trump's tariffs that he's implied and put into steel. They're saying that, heck, most of the steel that we buy is American anyways, but what we don't buy, we're having to buy elsewhere. And now it's costing us more money, and you can't buy everything in America. It's just not possible. America doesn't make it all type of thing. So what do we do? You know, what are we going to do? This one here, I just got a story sent to me. Yeah, this is 6 months old. This is 6 months old. Anyways, they just sent a story about Saudi security shoots down recreational drone near the Royal Palace. I can't even talk about what I really know. You know, can't talk about what I really know about all this stuff. Guys, I almost feel like I should just kind of go quiet. It seems like I can't talk today because what's going on is very sensitive, needless to say. And I'm kind of in the heart of everything, so it's been really hard to talk a lot about what's going on and do what I would like to do. I want to share something with you, and hope I don't get in trouble for this, but I'm going to share it anyways. This is Khashoggi. This is one of the last interviews Khashoggi had. And if you are aware of political, well, we got a call coming in. Maybe I can take that. Okay, hi. From the 708 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live. Prime time.
Hey, Fetch. Hey, Fetch and listeners. Look, that story with the drones back in April, it's April 21st that Reuters published that story. Remember, we were all talking about it, how those drones came out and the security guards freaked out. But, you know, the extended story to that, there was also rumors that it was actually an assassination attempt and MBS got hit or maybe he died and no one saw him for a while and so on and so forth. Well, today somebody mentioned on a broadcast that Robert David Steele with an E.com starts publishing his open source material, leading to the belief, he's led to the belief that MBS and the King were both killed in April. And the people that we see today are doubles, is what he's referring to. And those are the two articles I sent you, one to remind you of the palace shooting and the drone. And the other is Robert David Steele's column, excuse me. And they're suggesting that, again, I'm just putting this out there. Look, this whole Khashoggi thing is a bunch of narrative, okay? It stinks to high heaven. I know I kind of got excited. I got drawn into it, too, in the first few days. And then I took a step back, started collecting this information. Look what you got here. You got the mainstream media. They got this whole narrative. They got the story. It's written out like a soap opera. They got all these details. They got all these facts. They say they know who it is. They say there's on video and there's sound and eye watches. And they really wrap you into the story. Now, whenever they do this and they put that much out there right away, guess what? We're being played.
Yeah, someone told me today. Hey, to tell you the truth, someone told me today. They said, Dennis, I mean, obviously, right now with because all we have is the public narrative from the media. Said it looks bad. They said, look, remember Prince Bandar disappeared for 9-10 months. Said I wouldn't be surprised if this guy shows up 10 months from now.
Right. Yeah. So we don't even know if Khashoggi is dead, if he's hiding in Israel, if he was a runaway groom. But either way, this guy's been deep state for a very long time. He's been playing, September 11th. He's, you know, written articles on how he's interviewed Osama bin Laden after September 11th. All sorts of stuff. He's, like you said, he's a Muslim Brotherhood. Go ahead.
And all we know that what went in the door, we see him going in there, was an actor, and then he just changed his clothes and came out looking like something else. You never know.
There you go. I mean, you know, I personally haven't seen footage of that.
This is Hollywood. They could send somebody in as one person. See, we show them coming in, and, you know, the Saudis, I don't know, they're playing along. You know, sometimes governments do that. And then change your clothes and come right back out, and he never shows up coming out. That's just as plausible in my book. You know, it's all just, you know how these guys are. It's all media. It's all perception. So, you know, oh, he went in here. This is him going in. But, again, it wasn't even him.
Well, the stakes have always been high in all this stuff, Fetch. But, you know, with the last 2 years of Trump being in office, what has he done, this guy? He's been a lot of damage. He's put a lot of damage on these people. He's exposed the media for what they are, the frauds, the mockingbird. He's exposed the deep state in so many different ways. He's been exposing the central bank system, calling them out, and he's put a stopper on the wars they tried to start. He stopped North Korea. He stopped them from going, he's stopping them from getting Iran. He's put a kibosh on Syria, helped them put a kibosh on Syria. He's been going against all their little troops that Hillary Clinton and deep state and Obama and all them put into place. And he stopped a lot of funds. So they still need a war. They still need a lot of things. And Trump might be doing something good, who knows what their total result is, but he's putting a lot of water on their fun fire, that they've had under all of us. So this was another play of some sort, to what degree, I don't know, trying to start a conflict with Saudi Arabia and Turkey.
That there were, from one reasonably reputable source, that two of the pictures of the 15 are fake, for sure.
There you go. And it's so sloppy. These people all flew in on commercial flights.
It doesn't make any sense. Saudi Arabia. It wasn't commercial. These were chartered private jets, but it doesn't make any. If you think about it, it just doesn't make sense that a government would go and assassinate somebody in their own consulate. It just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
And how many people does it take to get one guy? 15 guys you send in there?
Yeah,
they don't know about the security cameras. They don't figure it's another embassy that's probably bugged.
It's so simple. You just arrest them on the spot. Say, I'm sorry, but you're under arrest. Whatever trumped up charge you want to call, and we're repatriating you back to Saudi. It would have been so simple.
Even if they wanted to off them, they could have done it silently when no one else was looking, off the street somewhere, whatever. They wanted to do. They got all those. They got all those people that they put in the Ritz-Carlton without anybody else really noticing, didn't they?
Yeah, so I wonder just how much, if at all, Kushner has to deal with this, because we know the relationship with Israel and such is more with Kushner than with Trump. Actually, Kushner's the driving. Mm-hmm. They're the two young guys, two young bucks in each country, so to speak, driving it.
Right. Well. There's also a little rumor going around that, it's just rumor just came up, this rumor. I won't inherit the last couple of days that MBS is saying I got Kushner under my thumb. I got Kushner or whatever. So that just popped up the last couple of days.
Nobody puts Jewish people under their thumbs, per se.
No, he's Shabbat Lubavitch. Put this part of piece of the puzzle, that story you just read about Davos in the desert, how all these people have now canceled out on this. This is a part of that puzzle, So they're not canceling because of Khashoggi. They're canceling something much bigger. Who knows? Maybe there was a bomb about to go off and they were all showing up there and, the Khashoggi business alerted them all that, and that's why they're canceling. That could be a possibility. Maybe because there was a huge economic plan for Saudi Arabia and other things that are going to come out of that. And they wanted to put a kibosh on that because you just can't have such a thing, not at this time when they need, to have wars and collapse. Who knows? But that Davos is a big piece of this puzzle.
Well, yeah, the money. Follow the money type of thing. And all of a sudden, all this money is pulling out. But I know if I'm Saudi, I just go target Uber. Uber operates here, big time. So if I can somehow put a crimp on Uber, I'd crimp them. I'd put them out of business for 6 weeks, put them under some type of regulatory. Yeah, Uber's huge here. That important to me, I would just put a regulatory hurt there under. I wouldn't put them out of business because a lot of Saudis make money driving, and I don't want to put my own people out of work.
Well, they just evaluated Uber at some bizarre, massive amount of money. They just evaluated Uber at, which is just... It's just more bloated evaluation. Just same thing they do with Facebook to launder money.
All of these guys are worth
it off the top.
They don't have any assets at the end of the day. It's just digital stuff. They don't have assets.
Mm-hmm. Software. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe Blackbird can, you know, I know, I think you believe, from my understanding about Blackbird, he's an intelligence type of guy. Me, I'm just piecing this stuff together as I collect it, and I'm just bringing it from 5th Street to 7th Street. I'll let you know about it. But go through that article. Maybe you'll learn something about it. And I haven't read the whole thing, but Robert David Steele, most of his information is open source, and he is ex-CIA, blah, blah, blah. So who knows what he picked up. I don't know if it's true.
I have people, I mean, I talk to people in the room. Court all the time.
So. Right. Well, I know in the last, you know, that was in April. I know in the last 7 months, you or 6 months, you haven't said anything, you know, otherwise everyone, MBS disappeared for a while. If you recall. Yeah. So, I mean, could these be devils? I don't know. I don't know what the guy looked like before. I don't know what he looks like now. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe they were killed. I don't know.
Well, anyway,
that's all food for thought, my brother.
It's worth it. Same about Putin. The current Putin is not the original Putin. This is a different Putin.
Really? Well, maybe someone should go and challenge him, see if they get a roundhouse kick to the face. All right. I'll talk to you later. Take care.
Thanks for the call, dude. Last thing we wanted to get in, if we can here, we got about 2 minutes. I want to just mention a statement, and unless you are aware of the politics and the nuance of words, you really don't grasp what is really being said. It's so important, quite frankly, to understand the underlying hidden meaning of the words. It's the only way, and it's not easy, by the way, because you have to understand from this point how words become political constituencies. And these political constituencies are used by particular political groups. And here's something that Khashoggi said just a day or two before, quote unquote, his disappearance, about why he thinks Saudi Arabia is not playing a more progressive role in the Middle East. Might help if that's queued up, huh? See if I can get this to play before it's too late.
He's still very much anti-Arab Spring and very skeptic and doubtful and worry of it. Arab Spring is a true phenomena. And to what you describe, Ariel, the quagmire and the position about Jerusalem, it's all a result of his position toward Arab Spring and the movement for democracy in the Middle East.
Now, see, here's what I don't understand about Khashoggi there. He's a bright guy. But what does this have to do with, quote unquote, his take on the Arab Spring? Aside from the fact that the Arab Spring was a Muslim Brotherhood operation backed by deep state U.S., Israel equally, to balkanize the West or to balkanize the Middle East. That's what this was all about. And when Khashoggi is talking about how someone isn't embracing, quote unquote, Arab Spring enough, what he's saying is that the government inside of Saudi wants to maintain its strong central government and itself not become balkanized. Khashoggi at this stage was selling the idea of balkanizing Saudi Arabia. That's what this whole idea of political constituency and the Arab Spring was all about, balkanizing everything under the name of providing Arabs with a voice so that essentially it becomes easy pickings for the banks, multinational corporations, and things of this nature. I can assure one thing, and I cannot say too much. There is a huge war going on subsurface. Not just in the United States, but throughout the world. Not everywhere, of course, in the world. Some areas are more united than others. Hungary, for instance, and Poland are reasonably united. China is reasonably united. Japan is reasonably, most of the world still has its united factions. But we do have these attempts to balkanize parts of the world. And we've seen what happened to Syria. We saw what happened to Libya. Tunisia has never really recovered. We saw what happened to Iraq. We know what's happened in Somalia, Sudan, etc. Folks, these are not nice people. and you shouldn't shed a tear for me. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, prime time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good night from Saudi, and see you all Saturday, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, for Inside the Eye Live, prime, Inside the Eye Live. See you then. Good night.